This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram, and he is on the hotline right now. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on, guys?
Good. Scott. Hey, I just saw you tweeted a couple minutes ago, and I'm, like, shocked at this Mahamat Masquerade story where he lost his hand.
I know.
And I'm looking at the video, and I'm like, wow. What's behind the story here?
Yeah, he said it was an ATV accident. He was headed back to, like, they were done, and they were on their way back to, like, the trucks to take away the ATVs, and he took a turn too sharp and rolled over and, like, shredded his hand. And all that's left is the thumb. The rest of the hand is robotic. It's really something, especially, I mean, for anybody, but for a receiver, right, a guy that made his living with his hands, it was interesting. I'd never heard that. You know, he'd kind of fallen off the radar. It was really interesting. And I really liked Muhammad when he was here. He's a good guy to talk to.
Wow. All right. So stay off of ATVs or don't take harsh turns. Yikes. On that cheery note, and we hope the best for him, here the Browns go now. Super Bowls in the past. Everything's straight ahead, moving along. Jimmy Garoppolo signs a huge deal, which would make you think Kirk Cousins is in line for an even bigger deal, Scott. Does that put him off the Browns' board, off their radar, or are they just fine?
Well, from a money perspective, I mean, they have it, right? They have the salary cap space. They have the money to pay Kirk Cousins. I don't think it's a shock that Kirk Cousins is going to get $30-plus million a year. You know, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's deal, I think, is $90 over the first 3 years, so Cousins will probably be a little bit more than that. So I don't think that in itself puts him out of the Browns thinking, but when you have the number one pick, and if you believe one of those guys is worth the number one pick in the draft, then you don't need to go pay a guy that's, you know, a good quarterback, but not an elite quarterback. You know, I don't know if we can all agree on that, but I don't think he's a top 7-8 quarterback in this league, Kirk Cousins. So if that's not who you're getting, and you have the option of getting a young guy who will be much, much cheaper and potentially has a bigger upside, then just spend the number one pick on the draft on a quarterback and don't go chasing Kirk Cousins and paying him $30 million a year. And I think that's the decision the Browns will come to. I would understand if they said, you know what, we feel Kirk Cousins is the best chance to win 9 games next year and challenge for the playoffs. If they made that choice, that'd be fine. But I think they're in a unique situation where this is a good quarterback draft class. They have the number one pick. You don't need to go chase that free agent.
Scott, you got a really interesting tweet last week. Somebody tweeted at you, would the Eagles give Nick Foles to the Browns as a thank you for Carson Wentz?
Yes.
And you tweeted back, seems like the right thing to do. Is Foles somebody that should be on the Browns' radar, and would you be willing to try to go get him?
Yes. Yes and yes.
Yeah.
To me, he should be at the top of their radar. You know, once Alex Smith went to Washington, right? And to me, he made the most sense of any of these quote-unquote bridge quarterbacks that you're going to pair with the number one pick in the draft. Once Smith was traded to Washington, then you had to kind of reassess, and who's the next best options? And I think Case Keenum could be on that list. And Nick Foles, to me, jumps to the head of that list because he's a guy that's under contract with Philly, so you're not going to have to outbid teams. You just make a trade with Philadelphia, right? And we all know all the draft capital and everything the Browns have. He's coming off, obviously, the Super Bowl win, Super Bowl MVP, showed incredible resilience. He's a young guy. He's had success in this league before. And if you say to Nick Foles, hey, you come in and start for 1 year guaranteed, it's your year, and if you play great, then we'll let you go, right? We'll turn it over to our number one draft pick. We'll let you go, and maybe he gets a ginormous contract, you know? I just think it makes sense. I don't know what Philly will demand. You know, you have to assume that Carson Wentz is going to be healthy again, but if they're worried about him being healthy week one. Maybe they don't even entertain any offers and they say, hey, we love a quarterback situation. But if Philly would take the 64 pick in the draft, which the Browns got in that Carson Wentz trade, if they would take that for Nick Foles, I would do it in a heartbeat. And I would say, you're my guy for 2018 and not even worry about playing Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or whoever the number one pick is.
Scott Patrick joining us from the Chronicle Telegram. You can read all of his stuff at brownzone.com. We haven't talked a whole lot about the new offensive coordinator for this team yet, Todd Haley, coming in from Pittsburgh. What does he – and it's weird because his reputation is he couldn't get along with Roethlisberger. You know, and they were, there was animosity there. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing from the Browns perspective. and I don't, Scott. I think that's interesting. But you have Hugh Jackson, who's Captain Happy. And here comes Todd Haley, where, you know, it seems to be a little Mr. Gruff. How does this mesh, and what effect does he have on the offense?
Well, as far as how it meshes, that's going to be fascinating. And, you know, we know that Hugh Jackson no longer will call plays, and he's not the only guy responsible for the offense. So that takes some things off his plate. What it does add is now he becomes the guy who must manage these big personalities. And Todd Haley has a big personality, a strong personality. We know Greg Williams does. So that's one of the things Hugh Jackson's going to have to do. He's going to have to keep these guys not under control, but manage them. And, okay, how are they working together? How are we going to do this? How are these coordinators relating to their players, which is one of Hugh Jackson's strengths, how he relates to his players. And then as far as Todd Haley's impact, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, first of all, how it kind of blends with Hugh Jackson's scheme, because they're not the same scheme. So the Browns offense is going to look different than it did in Hugh Jackson's 2 years. And it probably won't look exactly like it did in Pittsburgh, because Hugh will have some influence on what Todd Haley does. But Todd Haley has done it. He's had success multiple ways. He had a number one rushing offense while he was with Kansas City. And then we've seen him in Pittsburgh with all the weapons that Pittsburgh had. And he threw the ball a ton, and he went with a bunch of those bubble screens to get the ball in his playmaker's hands. He found ways to get the ball to Le'Veon Bell, running and passing, and he threw the ball deep. You know, and that's something Ben Roethlisberger can do, and it's something you assume whoever's the quarterback for the Browns will be able to stretch the field, because we know Hugh Jackson likes that. We know Todd Haley likes that. But that's, you know, what goes on with this offense and what form it takes will be one of the key things that we'll have to watch in 2018, and just how much influence Hugh Jackson has and how he can remove himself, because we know that it was his baby and that he didn't want to give up play calling duties. And the fact that he did, will he be able to take a step away and really give the reins to Todd Haley? And I think that remains to be seen a little bit.
I'm wondering how he's going to perceive the job from the quarterback standpoint, like if they do bring a veteran in. I mean, here's a guy that was dealing with Tony Romo when he was young, right?
Yeah.
When he was with Dallas.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you wonder, okay, so you've been working with Ben Roethlisberger, and whether it was contentious or not, you knew that you were working with a veteran quarterback, where the opportunity here seems to be that he's going to get somebody who could be really special and is going to be very young.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. And, you know, you would think that the rookie would be more, you know, willing to take coaching and hard coaching, right? And
right.
Todd Haley will be involved in that scouting process and in the drafting process. He won't have final say, obviously, but he will give his opinion. But then the other aspect of that is, who's that veteran that they bring in?
Right.
And is he going to be willing to work with strong personality of Todd Haley? You know, now most of these guys you mentioned don't have the kind of leverage that a Ben Roethlisberger did. You know, Case Keenum is a good guy. He's, you know, coachable, well-liked. Nick Foles is that kind of guy. You know, if it's A.J. McCarron, you got the Hugh connection. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, because he does have a different personality than Hugh Jackson, that's for sure, and relates to his players differently. And I'm not saying that's not good or not even necessary, but we saw how Hugh related to players, and it's just different than the perception of Todd Haley.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle Telegram. Free agency coming up. Obviously, you know, we've looked at the quarterbacks, and Kirk Cousins is front and center. But some of the other positions, is there a free agent or two, Scott, that you think, yeah, this is the guy the Browns should really go after?
Well, I'll tell you what. I can tell you positions I know they need to target, because I think it's too early to see you know, you always fall in love with these free agents that you think are going to be out there, and then they wind up re-signing with their teams, right? Because there's so much salary cap space. Teams don't let their best players hit free agency. But if I'm the Browns, I'm looking for help in the secondary, safety, cornerback. I think you need to bring in at least one veteran receiver to pair with these young guys. I thought, you know, obviously Andrew Hawkins retired, but there was a void in that veteran leadership, and Kenny Britt certainly did not fill it last year. And they need somebody who can do that, not only from a mentor standpoint, but who can play, right? They need players at receiver. And what I'd like to see them do is, we know they have Myles Garrett, we know they have Emmanuel Agba, but I want to see a veteran pass rusher that can come in on third down, and that's all he does, is go get the quarterback, because they weren't good enough at that last year. And somebody that, if they double-team Myles Garrett, this guy can come off the edge and have success, and you can slide Agba inside if you want to. Somebody like Chris Long, somebody like Dwight Freeney, when he was not the same Dwight Freeney that played every snap in Indy, but a guy that you could still count on to play 15, 17 snaps a game and be effective. And I think that player would have a huge impact on the defense and what Greg Williams is trying to do.
I think that's an interesting thought on this. And if you look at what the Eagles did, and obviously they're the new poster child for how do you build a team. They did it through some draft choices, but Howie Roseman had a great, great offseason in signing free agents who stepped in and really helped. And that could make a much quicker fix here.
Exactly right. Look at Calais Campbell, what he did in Jacksonville. You know, people think, oh, it's a money grab. He's going to Jacksonville. You know, they're not going to the playoffs. He turns into, like, defensive player of the year. Jacksonville makes a run to the AFC championship game. And a lot of times you turn your nose up on guys that are 30, 31. But if you find the right guys for the right contract, and the Browns, it doesn't even have to be the right contract because they have that much salary cap space. You find three guys that can make a huge impact. And, you know, that's what we're looking about. That's what we're talking about, and that's what John Dorsey's looking to do. Pair those veteran guys who can have an immediate impact with the young draft class and see what this roster can become.
All right, Scott, what do you got cooking? What are you working on right now?
It's all about combine. You know, I'm trying to watch as much film as I can before getting to the combine and then start to think about, okay, who are the free agents they can target, and then what are the stories that we're going to be following at the combine? So we've got about 2 weeks before that.
Anything jump out to you early?
Well, I tell you, the film is interesting watching these quarterbacks. I think I've watched at least three games of all the top guys. And, you know, there's good and bad from all of them. That's where I'm at right now, is there's plenty to like, but there seems like there's a big question mark from each of these guys that we're going to be talking about with the number one pick in the draft. And it's just becoming comfortable with the weakness/question mark. Do the Browns feel comfortable Josh Rosen can stay healthy and even wants to play here? You know, can they become comfortable with everything Baker Mayfield is? And then with Sam Darnold, it's all about the turnovers, but he's only 20 years old. So for me, it's easier to get past that than maybe get past some of the question marks with the other guys.
Scott, we always appreciate your time. Thank you very much. And we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Scott.
All right, Scott Patrick, sure you read him in the Chronicle Telegram.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.